Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am pleased to welcome Carrie Gans. Carrie is a dietitian living in New York that I met 2 years ago at a client event, and we just hit it off right away. I was so impressed with her very down-to-earth attitude. She's a published author of a great book called The Small Change Diet. We actually talk a little bit about that on the show today. But again, one of the things that really struck me and I was so impressed by is her very reasonable approach to health, wellness, fitness. She's ridiculously enjoyable to listen to. You'll pick up on her adorable accent. At least I think it's adorable. But she really knows her stuff. And I think what's so frustrating to me is that folks that want to get healthier or become more fit are so intimidated and they think that it's really all about a life of denial. That's not true at all. And Carrie addresses a lot of those myth understandings very, very well in this show. And also, I'd like to say for those of our listening audience tuning in today, if you're potentially already on your fitness journey and you've been watching what you eat and eating healthy for years, but you feel like, wow, I'm obsessed about what I eat. I'm scared of food. You can get to that point where you label everything and you think one little, variation from what you eat. If you have a carb, if you have something with gluten in it, you start to worry about it. If that's you, this episode as well, I think is going to change the way you look at your diet approach, and your nutrition. Carrie is just very eloquent, but yet very down to earth and very accessible. So I encourage you to sit down, grab a cappuccino, enjoy this interview with Carrie Gans, and let us know what you think. Write to us over at fitfluentialradio.com. But for now, kick back and enjoy this interview with Carrie Gans. Hey, everybody, welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, as I mentioned in the intro, I have Carrie Gans with me. And it has been too long. She and I were just chatting before the show. We originally met in New York at an event for a client and became fast friends. And I think the world of her because I got to walk away from that event with her book, The Small Change Diet. And I think just those words right there are going to be a lot of a great opener for what we're going to talk about today, because she knows her stuff when it comes to health and wellness and food and nutrition. We're also going to talk about her newfound passion or her growing passion for yoga, which I have as well. So welcome to the show, Carrie. We're going to dive right in. I always like to ask people that have, this is their first time on the show and potentially first time being exposed to our Fitfluential community, what is it that first got you personally interested in pursuing a healthy lifestyle, a fitness lifestyle, and having this be what you do for a living?
I love when people ask me this question because it's hard for me to pinpoint when it all began. If I think back, it really started, and I don't like to say, or maybe I do, mothers are always right. I grew up in a home that was filled with health foods long before health foods were trendy. I mean, my mother was breading our chicken with oatmeal. I mean, it was crazy. Natural peanut butter long before I wanted it, and I hated it. But it kind of was always in me. And then I was working in the fashion industry for many years, and I just wanted to do something different. And I have to admit, I didn't really look into it. I said, what am I passionate about? I've always worked out. I've been eating healthy for as long as I can remember. That's it. I'm becoming a nutritionist. And right like that, I went off to NYU to get a master's in nutrition. And then I did the internship and really thinking that I would just have this small little private practice. And that was it. Never thought I'd write a book. Never thought I'd be a spokesperson for any companies. But it just, my passion, it just took off. And I've been doing it now for quite a number of years, and I just love everything that I do. I love working with people, spreading the word on eating healthy in a very reasonable way, because I think that's the key here.
That is a word that, and I'm taking a couple of notes for things that you said, but yeah, reasonable, I think. And that's what you and I were chatting about before the show is, you know, I personally, and I know so many people in our community, they're either going through this transition. I personally went through this transition of, you know, following some wrong advice that had me, I'd gotten to the point last year where I had somebody, you know, getting me to feel that I had to be so extreme and so perfect in a paleo approach to my diet. And I would say that my approach, I have an approach to eating. I don't need to label. And I kind of like the idea that all of us are getting away from labels. People don't necessarily say, I'm a CrossFitter anymore. Or I'm, you know, you do have some people say, I'm vegan or I'm paleo. But more people are just going, well, this is what I do. And they're not really looking for acceptance. And I'm certainly not. But one of the things that I have become and that I feel has had such a positive impact is just what you said. I've become more reasonable and more calm about food and life. Like, we're supposed to be on this earth to enjoy life and eating, not be so uptight that we're driving ourselves into, you know, needing Botox every day because we're frowning and freaked out, right? Like,
very good point. I mean, that's the thing. So many people, and I would say people are still kind of labeling what they're eating, unfortunately, I find. Mm-hmm. I wish more would stop labeling. I mean, it should just be, I'm eating healthy, period, yep. End of story. And with healthy eating, believe it or not, also means not always eating healthy, because no one's perfect and no one should be perfect. It's like when people say, oh, you're a registered dietitian, you can't possibly like to eat French fries. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's on the cover of my book. Okay. Oh, really? I mean, you eat a burger? Yes, I eat a burger. And then the biggest shocker is, and I don't like kale. Okay, there I said it. I don't like kale. And you know what? I feel good about it. I don't have to.
I mean, that's so awesome.
All right, now I don't like sweet potatoes. But anyway, the whole thing is that, but I do like plenty of other fruits and, I mean, other vegetables. And I eat plenty of fruit and I eat whole grains and I eat dairy. I mean, for me, I feel all foods can fit. Now, I do have to understand that certain people have, you know, true intolerances. That's something different.
Right.
But why so many people look to eliminate foods from their diet, to me, that is just, it's crazy. And when I work with my patients, it's about, come on, let's try to have a normal relationship with food. Let's enjoy our food. And that can mean enjoying the healthiest dish imaginable. But guess what? It could also mean just piling down a dish of French fries and feeling good about it.
Mm. I will say that for me, you know, I am admittedly coming from years and years of, well, and I know it was driven by massive insecurity. I've always been very insecure. My therapist is working with me on that, and I'm getting better. But I've just been very insecure since I was a child, very self-conscious. And so for me, when I had any, and I've had a curvy body my whole life. So for me, wanting to have a more athletic, lean, muscular physique, I did every extreme diet there was. Right. And I would punish myself in the gym. And I remember Valerie Waters was one of the first people that said to me, you know, I was wearing my heart rate monitor and posting my stuff on social media. She's like, did I just see you did a workout that was burning 1,700 calories yesterday? She's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, because what happened is I started with a 300 calorie burn workout. And I thought, well, if 300 is good, then I should burn 400. And then I should burn 500. And then I started working out. And I mean, literally, I would end up working out 2.5 hours a day.
Yeah. Which is totally crazy.
Yes. I admit it.
Right. When somebody asks me, what kind of exercise should I do? I respond, well, what do you like to do? There shouldn't be any shoulds. And what you said is very interesting about how you would look at yourself. Women have to understand that no two people are built exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be about, and it's, you know, easy to sit here and just say it, but it shouldn't be about a number on a scale. It shouldn't be about how you necessarily look. It should be how you feel. It should be when you work out or when you even eat, anything we're talking about health, how does it make you feel? And I think we've lost touch of, you know, we're out of touch. And I think, unfortunately, you know, you look on Instagram and everybody who's posting pictures and how they're doing this or that, amazing, you know, we'll talk about yoga and all these amazing poses, but not everybody can do them, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's doing what feels good. But I will stress, it is doing something, you know, because then people can say, well, all right, I don't like to do anything. Oh, and then there has to be something. You know, just walking counts. I had a patient once, it was a man, but he loved ping pong. And guess what? If you've ever played ping pong, a real game of ping pong, that's exercise. And that was his exercise. And I fully supported that because it was something that he enjoyed.
You know, you brought up something and it's making me think this is a good jump off point. You said it shouldn't be about the shoulds. And I so agree, because whether it's with food or workouts or both, we, you know, like we get a lot of people that'll write into us at Fitfluential, like on our Twitter handle, Facebook, they'll write into us and fill out the customer form on fitfluential.com. And some of the most common questions we get, of course, they're always around weight loss and getting fit. But what should I do? I'm told I should eat, just go gluten-free. I'm told I should just go low carb. Right. Shouldn't I be running? Isn't that the best way to lose fat? Shouldn't I be meditating? And all of these things could potentially have merit, right? But it's not. Right. One of the things I've become very adamant about is each one of us has to, and I'm so glad that we trademarked our tagline for Fitfluential is fitness found. Because to me, when I talk about it now and I say, find your fitness, that means like what works for Carrie is potentially not going to work for me, or not going to just feel right for me. Like I love to do yoga every day. Some people might love yoga, but they only want to do it twice a week. And that doesn't mean that I'm better than them or that I'm more of a... Yeah, you know, you really have to find, number one, what you said, what you like and enjoy to do, what you enjoy doing. Because what you like and enjoy doing, and you mentioned walking, I take an hour walk in the Great Hills out here, and I've become such an outdoors person. Never thought I'd do it, but let me tell you, that's an intense workout. When I say I do a power walk, it's powerful. And for anybody watching me, it's probably powerful too, watching me almost die when I get to the top of the hill. But it really has to be individual. And I love hearing that. So in other words, when patients come to you, clients, excuse me.
No, I interviewed a doctor. So I interchange them.
You're not necessarily saying, you know, here's this diet and workout plan that's going to be right for everybody, because it's not. In other words, each individual is just that, individual. And, well, and it takes some tweaking.
And you know what? It's like when somebody comes to me and they'll be like, can you give me a meal plan? And I'll be, well, no. And they'll be like, wait a second, but you're a nutritionist. Shouldn't you be giving me a meal plan, telling me what to eat? And I've never been big on that. And the reason for that is, first off, I'd have to, before I even attempted that, I'd have to know what they like to eat. All right, so I'm not going to tell someone you need yogurt on there and they hate yogurt, or eggs and they hate eggs. So I would need to know what they enjoy eating. But more importantly, I always say to my clients, patients, whatever we want to call them, I would say, okay, but if I tell you what to eat on Monday, and then Monday a friend asks you to go out to eat, now what happens? You're like, oh my God, I can't go out to eat because on my meal plan, it says I must be eating salmon, brown rice, and spinach. How am I going to do that if I go out? And more importantly is I want them to go out. I think too many individuals have lost sight of being able to be social, enjoy friends, enjoy doing things, but still find a way to eat healthy. So if I gave them a meal plan and then they felt guilty because they were going out to eat, I'm not helping them. Mm-hmm. So it's about learning how to maneuver based on who you are. And if going out to eat is part of your life, we need to make that work. If you hate walking, I mean, some people say, oh, I can't walk. It's too monotonous. I'll get bored. Okay, well, let's find out what will work for you, because everyone is different. At the end of the day, we really want the same for everyone. We want everyone to maintain a healthy body weight and, more importantly, feel good. We need to make sure, yes, when we talk numbers, not numbers on the scale per se, but numbers are our blood pressure, our cholesterol levels, our blood glucose levels. Those are the numbers we should be thinking about. But to get to that point, we have to give ourselves, we have to take a breath, and we have to get so we're not so wound up about getting there. You know what I mean?
You made so many, like, I don't, if everybody can hear me scribbling in the background, I'm like, oh, I got to ask her that. I got to say that. We got to build on that. These are all so good. So yes. And it goes back to being reasonable, but I do think, you know, and I'm going to come back to what you said about, you know, hey, life happens and you're going to go out to eat. 'Cause that's a good point. We're going to talk about that. I have a question that we can build on there, but I keep thinking about, you were addressing, and we have a lot of folks that are listening to the show that tune into FitFluential that are really just starting, starting on their journey. And they tend to have this attitude of, well, you know, I just went to the doctor. I was told I have high cholesterol. I was told I was pre-diabetic. I was told I need to lose 50 pounds. And so it seems so foreign to them to be fit. It seems so that, you know, again, like you mentioned, when people meet and they hear that you're a dietitian or a nutritionist or a trainer, they're going to go, oh, and their guard's up. Like, well, she's going to be mad I eat Doritos or whatever. Like, first of all, that's not what it's about. But so many of them that are just getting started, they're looking at people that are fit and healthy and thinking, it's like they're mutants that live on another planet, right? They eat differently. They do that working out. They go to the gym and they try to find, as you mentioned earlier, all of the reasons why they can't and don't want to do it, to get healthier. And really, that kind of goes back to your book that you talked about, which is brilliant, The Small Change Diet. It's not about like so much of what's been written in so many magazines and books, which is, okay, here's what you have to do. Start on Monday, get a 90-day program, and you're going to have six meals. And just what you said, what makes it a social life, you've just eliminated it, because they say, drink water, get rid of all soda, no sweeteners, no fruit, no carbs, no fats.
No cocktails. Come on.
No donuts. Like, there is nothing right about that. No cheat meals. This has got to be hardcore. No nitrates, no this. And there's all these crazy rules, right? And so, you know, someone's just getting started is going to look at that and go, I can't do that. And then they think of all of the images they see of people at the gym. They think that's too hardcore. Well, they don't know going to the park can be a workout, you know, doing something for 10 minutes a day can start to make a significant impact. It doesn't have to be huge life change.
Right. But that's a huge impact. When I'll say to somebody, okay, so right now you're doing nothing, because they'll say, all right, I'm going to start going to the gym. How many times should I go a week? And they're busy to write down. And I'll say, well, how often are you going now? None. Okay, so let's go once. And they'll be like, are you kidding me? You only want me to go to the gym once? I'll be like, but right now you're not going at all. Same thing will be, all right, I'd like to see you eat a little bit more fruit. All right, how many servings of fruit a day should I have? How many are you having now? None. Okay, have one piece of fruit. That's all I need to eat, they'll question me? I'll be like, yes. Because you have to build gradually. And if you build gradually, it builds up your confidence. You're like, gee, I can do this. I can go to the gym once a week. And then, hey, I can go twice a week and feel good about it. But if you set yourself up right out of the bat and say, okay, I need to go five times a week, and then you only go three, you're going to feel like a failure. And you're going to throw your hands up and you're going to say, I can't do this. I'm done. And that's not what we want. We don't want people giving up so quickly.
Gosh, you're like the fireworks. This is like truth bomb. Every 5 seconds, I want to make a bumper sticker out of everything you're saying, because these really are, they're such good points that I know I really want to get out to the people again that are just starting. I'm very passionate about reaching those people and getting them to feel like, don't feel so intimidated. Don't think that you have to have this, you know, I don't even know what those shows are with the, you know, Jillian Michaels and all of those. I don't even know if they're on anymore, but those Biggest Loser shows and everything, again, whatever, but
and that's not
they make
reality.
You, yeah. they make you feel like it has to be something extreme, and it doesn't. And what you just said there about, hey, if you're doing nothing right now, start with one. And I'm sure most people would have that reaction. I know I would. I'm always that, oh, well, like I said in the past, if someone told me to work out 45 minutes a day or 30, I'd go, right, well, I'm going to triple that.
You double it.
Which is silly. But the number one question people, when they write to me personally, Kelly Alexa, is they'll go, I want to get fit. I'm just not motivated. And they'll say, I want to work out. I want to eat better. But how do you get motivated to eat better? And what I always tell them, I don't know if you'd agree, it's basically akin to what you just said, which is motivation isn't something that you can have delivered by UPS. It's not something special. It's not something that fit people got and you didn't when you were born. But what, in my opinion, creates motivation is just what you said. You go to the gym if you haven't done it, or say I'm going to go for a walk, and you say, I've done nothing, and I'm going to go every Monday when I get home from work, I'm going to go for a half an hour walk. When you do that and you meet your goal, that's your motivation, because then you have that sense of pride and you're like,
right,
I did it once. I bet you I can do it tomorrow.
Right.
And that's what you got to do. You got to start.
Success fuels success. What I say about motivation is everyone's motivation is going to be different. Nobody has the same. And there's no judgment when it comes to motivation. If I have a patient who comes into my office and she wants to wear, and I know a lot of women are going to frown at what I'm about to say, but she wants to wear, and I'm putting it in quotes, air quotes, her skinny jeans. Okay, she wants to wear her skinny jeans. No judgment. That could be her motivation. Or if somebody comes in and they want to be able to play with their grandchildren, hey, that's motivation. Or somebody comes in and they're like, you know, my father and mother both had heart disease. I don't want to get heart disease. Well, that's motivation. Everyone's motivation is different. And it is helpful to try to remember what it is that brings you to the table to try to improve your life. And it can't be because your doctor told you. It can't be because your spouse told you. It has to come from within. And whatever that is, it is yours. And I think that that's what people also have to hold on to, because that will help you to be motivated to try to improve your health.
You know, you just made a good point there. Because there's a lot of people listening that probably have had, you know, a doctor tell them that, or maybe even a family member, you know, you really should lose weight, you're not healthy, whatever. If that's what drives you to start, you won't stay with it, because you're going to end up resenting it. But I will say this from my own experience, and I'm pretty sure you'll agree with me, no pressure, that I firmly believe that deep down inside, any of us, men or women, if we are unhealthy in any way, if that means we're 20 pounds overweight, 50, 75, if we're obese, whatever, if we're tired, lethargic, and just exhausted, whatever, there's nobody that doesn't deep down inside want to, like you said, feel better. It doesn't have to just be superficial and about your aesthetics. We all want to feel better. And what I want to tell everybody is that's what will start to make a huge difference, because I've shared this before. I'm 48 years old. I feel more energetic, more mobile. I mean, I have yoga and all of my training and meditation, a comprehensive approach to my health. It's changed me. I have energy. I have flexibility. I want to get up every day and go, gosh, I want to go hiking now. I want to go to the mountains. I want to go here. All the things. I want to go skydiving. Whoever thought when I was younger, I remember when I was younger thinking, you know, gosh, I only have until I'm 30 and it's over after I'm 30. And to be able to feel like aging is a privilege and your body is a temple, you can look and feel better. And it's something to aspire to, not just because someone told you that you should. You will change the way you feel. And the beautiful thing is, do you agree, Carrie, that I'm sure you see this with your clients, when you start taking care of your health and you start to feel better and you start to have a little more pep in your step, it bleeds over into other areas of your life.
Oh, 100%. 100%. If you're eating better, then possibly that will give you energy to maybe exercise more. If you're sleeping better, maybe that will give you energy. It's like it all comes together. It's not just one thing either. I tell people it's not necessarily about just eating. It's not about just exercise. We also have to put sleep into that component. It's really all three that are very important to really help you to feel your best. Now, the other thing I do say, though, is for those people who are like, all right, well, I'm going to just exercise and then I can still eat whatever I want. And I'm like, no, you can't outrun a bad diet. Hate to tell you, that's something that cannot happen. So we need to really work on all three to feel at our best.
I love that you brought that up. Hold on, I'm writing a note on that one. Because that's something I'm very passionate about. And you and I spoke about this before we started recording was, people say a calorie is a calorie is a calorie. Or some folks will say, well, just eat clean or just eat paleo or just go vegan. And exactly. And then they'll go, you don't have to watch what you eat. Like you can't just say, as you just mentioned, well, I'll just start working out and then I can. And when I see these sometimes late at night, you turn the TV on and there's some pill and they're like, you can eat all the pizza and beer you want and blah, 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 do this and never work out and be a couch potato. Just take this pill. I'm thinking, who is the moron that would raise their hand and go, that's what I want to do. I want to be a sloth and stuff my face. You do have to do both activity. And why wouldn't you want to be active? Who aspires to be a couch potato? But you have to watch how much you eat too. Do you feel that there's a lot of attention in the fitness, health, and wellness space, if you will, that makes people think, just choose this way and then you can eat all you want, which is, in my opinion, wrong.
Right, 100%. And I think it's very confusing. There is a lot of information out there that is unfortunately not accurate information. And a lot of people do not know who to listen to. I mean, consumers are confused. You know, one minute it is, you know, eat paleo. Next minute, I mean, that's really just a different Atkins, okay? You know, now in today's world, we're calling it paleo. It's, you know, don't eat gluten. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Clean eating. What does that even mean, clean eating? Okay, does it mean before we were eating dirty? I mean, nobody understands that word. There's no true meaning to that. Well, how we should be eating, and I don't even like to use the word should, but what I recommend is to concentrate on eating more fruits, vegetables, whole grains, filling up your plate where you look at your plate and you're like, okay, I have about a quarter plate of protein. Another quarter is a high fiber carbohydrate. It could be pasta. It could be a potato. They have fiber. It could be, yes, it could be quinoa brown rice, but it doesn't have to only be quinoa in case you don't like quinoa. And then the other half should be vegetables. Now you have a balanced plate. I think what people have lost sight of is portion control. I mean, I was just asked the other day to do an interview about pasta. But all these new pastas that are supposedly, is chickpea pasta better for you than regular pasta? Well, what people don't even realize is, guess what? It's the same calories. So no, you can't eat all the chickpea pasta you want the same way you can't eat all the regular pasta you want. Exactly. But it's what do you put on that pasta that matters? How do you build your meal? And instead of thinking about what you shouldn't be eating, think about more of what you we don't want to talk about shoulds, but when it comes to food, there are certain foods that we know we should be eating more of, period.
And if you're just sensible, and back to what you said, I love that you started the show off with reasonable, and it does. I'm not going to kid anybody that's in our audience. I have, again, myself being very transparent, I've come from, in past years, I've been that extreme scared of every single morsel of food dieter because I was, you know, focusing on goals. I didn't know my body had all these hormonally imbalanced issues, and I was fighting myself. So I certainly am coming from a background where I was obsessed with dieting or eating or whatever. But come on, I think we all can agree. If you go into a grocery store, what in general should make up the most of our what we eat. And let's look at it like week by week.
Right.
It's fruits, vegetables, protein. I'm not going to tell you if you should be vegan or vegetarian or pescatarian or whatever. Do your thing. Find out what works for you. I have my approach. You do you. Carrie, you do you. But we all know that like if, you know, some people can go for this whole if it fits your macros thing, and then they like to promote. And that's what I don't like is the people that are promoting on social media. Oh, my whole meal is made up of everything that is, you know, cheeseburgers and Oreos on top of pancakes, on top of cereal, on top of frosting. And it's like, okay, that's cool, but that's kind of defeats the purpose.
Right.
But come on, we all know, again, fruits, vegetables, the like you said, the quinoa, the rice, whatever. And then there's all of the, you know, stuff like, let me keep it real, people. I told Carrie, I've got a Diet Mountain Dew right here and I'm drinking it while we speak.
I'm glad that you are. Okay.
I love my Diet Mountain Dew. I have donuts every week to some degree. How many I have, let's just not talk about that. But I finally got to the point where I have learned to be reasonable. And whether it's, I don't necessarily look at things like per meal. Like I have an approach, like I said, I tend to have a paleo approach with fasting. I eat in like a 6 to 8 hour window. Again, that's what works for me. I'm not saying it works for everybody. That's what works for me. But I have cheat days and I have a Diet Mountain Dew and I'm totally fine with it. I don't freak out about Splenda being in my thing anymore. I also have Stevia on occasion. You know, I have both. And if you chill out and you say, like you said, if somebody invites you out to dinner on a Wednesday night, and you were planning on having, maybe your approach is a cheat meal on Friday, go out to dinner with your friends and think about, okay, what have I had Sunday through Wednesday? And then think, whatever you decide to eat, get lasagna if you want it. Have a small portion of lasagna and then go home and say, here's what I had. How do I balance out the rest of the week? Do you think that's like a more reasonable approach?
I think it's very reasonable. I don't like the word cheat meal, though, I will say.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm slapping myself.
Don't use that word anymore because you're entitled to not. It's you made a choice. You weren't cheating. You made a choice. What's
true.
Most important is what you do the next day. Just because you had the lasagna the night before, you don't have the following day. Well, now I think I'll have a cheeseburger. No. Mm. You go, you have your healthy meals. You say, all right, I enjoyed my lasagna last night. That was last night. Now I'm back on track. I'm eating the foods that I know make me feel great. And that's what you do.
So true. And that's actually, it's funny because I try to use the word I'm choosing to indulge. These are my indulgence.
Yes,
because I don't feel guilty. Feel guilty. Yeah. And the
you
more
shouldn't feel guilty. About food.
Exactly. And you and I talked about it. Forgive me, because I know we talk before the show and we record and everything with you and I sounds just like girl talk. But, you know, we talked
like we can
a
do
lot.
This forever.
Seriously. I mean, for real. But, you know, when you finally let go of being so damn uptight about your eating and your diet and is it 80-90 or excuse me, is it 80-20 that I, or 75-25 or, you know, like I'm supposed to eat good 90% of the time. Stop worrying about the rules. Chill out a
yes.
bit, give yourself a break. And I think frankly, what you just said, if we all can get to the point where instead of throwing in the towel, when we have a indulgent moment, right? Whether it's happy hour
right.
with friends after work, or you already had an indulgent meal with your family on Sunday, and then something comes up Thursday, you know, give yourself a break and then just get back on the horse. Because when I stopped doing the, you know, self-loathing and punishing myself, and I also did that thing that you mentioned, Carrie, where I'm like, well, I screwed up yesterday, and I would literally go and say, okay, well, I'm going to go to Burger King and I'm going to go through the drive-thru and I'm getting a Whopper with cheese and fries and then I get my Diet Coke with it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know
right.
if I felt that canceled it out. And then I'd go to the grocery store because I thought, well, I've pigged out, so let me really pig out and I'll start over on Monday.
Yeah.
And the more that you, and so many people still do that. Do you have to deal with a lot of your clients having those like all or nothing mindsets?
Oh, yes. It's very common. So many people have the all or nothing. And what I work with them on is not having that, is kind of changing that. It's not an all or nothing. And the other thing that I really try to work on with them that sounds bizarre is, let's suppose your food that you will devour is pizza. I actually try to get them to have pizza on a regular basis. Not every day, but there's no reason they can't have an occasional slice of pizza. I don't want them to think that foods are off limits, because the more that they deprive themselves of a food, the more they want it, and they can't even eat. Like, they would never used to be able to eat one slice of pizza. They would eat four slices of pizza till they were sick. Now, because they've given themselves the go-ahead, it's okay, you can have a slice of pizza, now they can eat just one. kind of like my relationship with French fries. Now that I've allowed myself to have French fries, I don't have to eat every French fry in front of me. I can leave them over.
There's that quote in the movie from Eat, Pray, Love where Julia Roberts goes, I'm in a relationship with my pizza. Yeah.
And I said, I have finally found out how to have a healthy relationship with French fries. And I believe that we all have our whatever it is, those vices, if we want to call it, of foods that we just overeat. But if you allow yourself to occasionally have them, you'd be surprised that all of a sudden there could be a shift. And you're like, I can enjoy a slice of pizza. I can have some French fries. And I can eat it in moderation. I know a lot of people hate that word. What does moderation mean? It's different for everyone. But people can find what it means for them. And it means finishing a meal and not necessarily feeling sick. Because no one wants that.
That's actually a really good point. And we're getting to the end of our time, which upsets me. But I'm going to ask you to come back on the show because I think we want to have like a part two and a part three. But what you just said there, I do want to tell people that are listening because truly this has been a huge change for me. You really can get to that point if you're listening to this and going, speak for yourself. If I get in front of M&Ms, I can't control myself, or Pop-Tarts or whatever. You know, I have a relationship with Pop-Tarts. I've always had a relationship and I'm very fond of them. But I do agree with what you said, Carrie, that the more, if you're like I used to be and you say, okay, I had some Oreos this weekend, whatever, I'm not going to have any until June 1st, whatever the date is. And you put it off, you put it off. All of a sudden, those Oreos are going to seem like the Holy Grail. And you will fantasize, you will obsess, you'll start doodling Oreos when you're in your meetings. And they become so much of a bigger deal to you. Whereas I found, this is the truth, and some people might listen to this and go, Kelly Alexa should be taken off the podcast airs for this. But it's true. When I first started having, with my friend Amanda, a donut on after leg day, and I was like, I haven't had donuts in forever. And there's probably a period of about 3 weeks where it's like I gave myself that taste again. And I'll be real, I had donuts a couple times a week and it became this, oh my God, these were so great. The more I just chilled out and for a period, I let myself have them when I wanted, I ended up eating less each time. And they have so much less power over me. Do I find glazed donuts delicious? Yes. Do I have that pull that I used to? Nope. So I do think, I never really thought about it that way. But I do think, you know, for those of you that keep denying, think about just letting yourself have it. You'll go through a period where you'll be surprised. A lot of things will have less power over you and you will be able to get to that place of moderation. So think about that. I want to ask you one last thing, Carrie, before we wrap up, because, and this doesn't have to be any deep, profound thoughts, but I told you one of the most common things we hear from folks in Twitter chats or they write into us, they'll say, I think I should just go gluten-free. I should just go low carb. Those are the two most popular things that people will write in. When you have people ask you that, and again, it drives me crazy, or people write that to us, what do you say? Because that's very common. People go, I should just go gluten-free, right? Gluten's what's bad.
First, I will ask them, why should you? Why? Because your friend is? Because you read it on the internet? What's making you determine that you need to eliminate gluten from your diet? A lot of times people will say to me, well, when I eliminated, I felt better. Okay, let's also look at what you were eating beforehand. A lot of times it's the same way with detoxes. People are like, oh, I feel so much better. I needed that detox. Well, did you need the detox? Did you need to eliminate gluten? Did you need to eliminate carbs? Or was it what you were choosing to eat before? Were you eating a lot of junk? And then once you eliminated the junk, that's why you felt better. It's not because you eliminated gluten per se. It's not because you all of a sudden carbs were out. People don't even understand, you know, that's a whole nother podcast
right?
of what really a carb is. Okay.
It's so true.
It's because all of a sudden you started eliminating. And what you, in that mist of eliminating, you ended up eliminating a lot of the junk. And that is why you probably felt better. Now, again, everyone's different. There could be some people are just definitely need to follow a gluten-free diet, okay? But more and more people who follow it don't need to, and they're just making their lives more difficult for no reason. And I'll be like, why do you want to make your life difficult when you don't have to?
God bless you. That's awesome. I hope that everybody that's listening, you know, you pick up what you take away from this, among other, you know, gems, are that be reasonable, calm down. And if you're just, for those of you that are already on your fitness journey, maybe this gives you a little bit more like, hey, you can chill out a bit, you know, you can indulge a little bit more. You can have that, stop being so uptight, worrying about having a glass of wine. Like you can have a beer, chill. And for those of you that are not yet on a fitness journey, getting ready and getting started, I hope you feel a little less intimidated about the process. For sure, I'm going to link up in the show notes, because when I first met Carrie, I took the book home, and her Small Change Diet, I think, is something, a book all of us should read. Also, guess on that note, this would be a good time to ask Carrie, for those that will, and of course we'll link this up in the show notes, but where can people find you online? Because you have a great website, but where should we direct them to connect with you, find out about you?
I would go to my website, which is carriegansnutrition.com, which I'm sure you'll list with this, so they'll know the spelling. Yes. And from there, they can sign up for my newsletter, The Carrie Report. They can follow me on social, mostly Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, all Carrie Gans. So very
easy. She has a great Instagram feed. Like, I'm looking at it right now, and we're going, when we have you back on the show, here's, like, I'm assuming the sale here with Carrie, she's going to be back on the show, but she told me right before we got on that she's recently become certified in teaching yoga, so you'll see a lot of yoga content on there. You have ridiculous flexibility. I am a yoga fanatic. It has dramatically impacted my life for the better. So but again, you'll see some great meal ideas. You will get very hungry, I'm warning you. So Carrie, thank you so much for being on the show. This was a great chat. I think it's going to really make a lot of folks feel better about taking baby steps and stop being so obsessive about diet, and start thinking you can enjoy life. Being healthy and getting fit is about enjoying life, not being a punishment. So this was really great, a great start. Thank you for having, thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome, Kelly.
I'm getting too distracted by, like, I see corn on the cob on your Instagram, but this was awesome. We definitely will have you back on the show. For everybody listening, thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions for Carrie, you can leave those for us in the show notes at Fitfluential Radio. And until then, we will see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.